Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today.
Hello and welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a suburb of southeast London. I'd like to invite you to come and join us for our worship services. We meet each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for the Divine Service and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for the Service of Vespers. I also work with the Kent Mission. We meet the first Sunday of each month in Raynham on Salisbury Road, and that's at 3 o'clock. I'm also vacancy pastor for St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride, and we work with the Edinburgh Mission up in Scotland as well. The folks at East Kilbride meet every Sunday morning at 11 a.m., so encourage you to join them. And if you want more information about the Edinburgh Mission, please contact us here at Lutheran Radio, and we'll be happy to try and get that information to you as soon as we can. If you don't live in those areas and you would like to attend a Lutheran church, why not go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button, find the congregation closest to you, pay them a visit. I know that you will be blessed. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank you for your prayers and for your financial support of Lutheran Radio UK. Without your prayers, without your generous contributions, we wouldn't be able to continue this ministry, and we are deeply grateful to you for your support. Last week, we began a conversation with Flame. Flame is a Lutheran rap artist in America, and we were talking about his life and his work and how he became a Lutheran, and we are going to carry that conversation on again this week. So welcome back, Flame. Great to have you with us again.
Yes, indeed. Glad to be back.
Hey, I was asking my confirmation class what questions they would ask you, and one of them was, how did you come up with the name Flame? What's the significance behind that?
So when I first took my faith seriously around 16, as mentioned last week, my name was actually always Flame. It was always a nickname of mine. But what I wanted to do was sort of give it a new meaning. And as I was reading through the Bible, I just sort of felt drawn to Jeremiah. And he was just this, you know, personality who felt the need to, and the call, really, to say hard things that had to be said, and eventually got him into a lot of trouble. And he said to God, you know what? I don't want to make mention of your name anymore. But then he says, but your word is like a fire shot up in my bones. And I felt like, man, that describes my personality. I just feel compelled to say things that may be hard, that may be hard to hear, but I want to say them in love. And I feel drawn and called to it, so to speak. So I just went with the definition of flame. I feel that same fire.
Great stuff. Another question they wanted me to ask you, and you touched a little bit upon this last week, but we talked about how you've been received sort of in the Christian community. But what secular folks or music critics have to say about your albums and your work? Any feedback or kickback from them, or good positive stuff, or do they just ignore you? What's happening there?
Two things. One, when people who are not Christians that were aware of my music before I was Lutheran, I've heard people comment about the difference. So I think when I was rapping as a Calvinist, there was more of this sort of we, they thing going on. So I would talk more like it's us over here and you guys over there. You need to get with us. It was that sort of posturing of, you know, music and direction. But now in my Lutheran content, they can sense just that the notion of we're both sinners. We're both broken. We're both, disintegrated within ourselves. We both deal with a level of hypocrisy and the things we're trying to figure out about ourselves and work through. And, so that's been a comment that I've gotten. People feel like there's this new tone to the music. And then even people that aren't aware of Flame and they newly exposed to my music, people have commented about that sort of similar thing as well. Like, man, if God is this merciful and patient, that makes me curious about your faith. And so I like hearing those kind of things from non-Christians, because I think it's a more accurate picture of our God. You know, obviously he has a way. We call it the law. He has a standard. But Jesus addresses that in his own personhood through his perfect life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. And I feel like, that's a healthy thing to be able to communicate in music. And I love that Christians and non-Christians alike are hearing this new tone and they're appreciating it. So that's always encouraging.
And I'm amazed at how you can weave these theological terms in and out of your lyrics. I mean, last week we closed by talking about justification and sanctification and the relationship between the two. And one of my favorite tunes that you do is 2KR. And I think that lays it out beautifully. Can you tell us, I suppose, a little bit more about how you came up with that tune and what you're trying to relay through that tune? And again, just how you kind of go about putting that amount of theology in that short a space?
Man, it's so funny. I remember, so I was sitting in class, and one of the professors, Dr. Bierman, he was just breaking down this concept. And it was so helpful because, you know, and not to keep, you know, targeting my brothers and sisters in the Calvinist camp. I love them dearly. I value and cherish them. But I remember those types of things were very fuzzy. And what I mean by those types of things is trying to understand how to live before God and to live before man or humanity. And there's a lot of ambiguity. It's kind of fuzzy when you think about it, because there aren't as clear distinctions when it comes to articulating that before God, we passively receive this righteousness that Jesus earned for us. We cannot contribute anything. So we get that part in the Calvinistic construct, but how do you live that out? There's some fuzziness there. And the fuzziness for me, the ambiguity was, am I to now direct my good works, my good efforts back up to God? Am I to sort of focus more vertically on the quality of my good works, hoping that he would see the sincerity in them? So as I'm getting busy in the world sharing my faith, yeah, I want people to get saved, but I also want God to see my heart. I want him to see how much I really care about this person, how much I really value, you know, the gospel presentation as being clear and theologically accurate. And I'm directing all of this energy upwards to God. But the two kinds of righteousness help me relax that appetite to constantly send all my good works back up to God. And it helped me to live more regularly on earth and focus on my neighbor. So it was like, man, there's this kind of righteousness that I receive from God passively. And then there's this other kind of righteousness that I actively contribute to humans, to people in the world. And I can give myself to people wholeheartedly. I don't have to be looking in my soul deeply to see if my affections are so sensitive to God's affections and that they accurately measure up and align with his. You know, I remember hearing statements like, we ought to feel what Jesus feels. Things like that was so confusing to me. I'm like, I don't know how to feel what Jesus felt. What does that mean? And so two kinds of righteousness was just a clear presentation of, you know, what it means to live before God and what it means to live before one another. And it just helped me breathe. And I was like, thank you, Lord. I want to talk about this in music. I want to summarize this in a way that's clear. And maybe other people can experience the same clarity and freedom as they just be regular people, but as Christian regular people.
Yeah. And as I say, I mean, it's such an amazing song because you talk about those two kinds of righteousness, passive and active. You talk about the horizontal and vertical relationships we have. You talk about the three uses of the law. You talk about coram mundo and coram Dei, before humans and before God. And you do that all in 3 minutes and 15 seconds, I think. And I'm just like, that's pretty incredible.
Again, shout out to my grandmother. She gave me the genius idea. I remember studying like the United States Constitution and the preamble and all that stuff. And based on her suggestion, just learn the material make it rhyme and say it back. So she helped me fine tune on summarizing big ideas and, you know, finding the heart and the meat of an argument and say it, and everything else you can give commentary on later, but just get the heart of the argument, get the main points of the content, make it rhyme, and you can make it cool. So kudos to her for pointing out something that she saw in me, giving language to it and helping me hone in on it. And I think that's what you hear in the two kinds of righteousness. So in that way, even from heaven, I'm still drawing on her genius and her tender care for me as a grandmom, you know?
And now, how many albums or EPs have you done since you become Lutheran?
At this point, 5. So there is Extranos, the EP, the first project that came out. Then there was Christ for You, articulating the Lord's Supper. Then I released a Christmas project that's, you know, that was super fun just to celebrate that season. And then I released a project titled Daybreak, which is an effort to talk about the social ills from a Lutheran vantage point. So I think that was helpful for a lot of people. And then the most recent contribution is Word and Water, which is unpacking baptismal regeneration as understood by the ancient church, but preserved through Lutheran thought.
And I've had a chance to listen to both your albums about the Lord's Supper and baptism. And again, very, very concise, very, very articulate ways of presenting the Lutheran understanding of the real presence of Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins in, with, and under the bread and the wine, that this is, you know, he's the Passover lamb. And also with baptism, how God actually connects the water and the word and does some pretty incredible, miraculous stuff through baptism that often people ignore. I'm guessing you did those with a conscious effort to try and share that doctrine again with as many people as you could. And how have those been received?
Man, it's been such a great and positive response. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine last night. He's a pastor. And he's not a Lutheran, but it was such a enriching conversation. He was appreciative for the things we're talking about now. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about was how these things should be normal within Christian life, but just sort of the generic evangelical church has carved out a version of Christianity that you do have the Word of God. And I thank him for that, that people are still trusting in his word, but it's sort of a fragmented version, because the sacraments are also God's word. They're his visible word. And in that way, he's supplied means of grace, means of comfort and assurance. And these are other tools in the tool belt, so to speak, that the Christian should draw on. These are works from God himself. They're not human works. He uses physical means, but yet he delivers his grace through these physical means. And it's such a beautiful thing that he's so fatherly in how he cares for us and just lavishes on us ways of sustaining, of having hope, of having, you know, strength. And, it's so practical, even in our regular lives. So I think people are sensing that they're sensing the usefulness of the sacraments. Because at first the sacraments is mostly in people's minds only a symbol or empty symbol, shall I say, a metaphor, something that we do to prove to God how serious we are, to boldly proclaim to the world that we're ready to go hard for God. And so I like that people are sensing a thing that should be normal, and they're sensing God's grace in it. And even people that are struggling to work through it, I like that it's sort of put a pause in the norm and causing us to reconsider. So I love it.
And I love how you go back to the patristics as well, the early church, and trace baptism, the Lord's Supper, and how it was used then, and draw attention to the fact that, you know, this symbolic interpretation, man, this is new. Did you have an impetus for doing that, or was this just something you thought, oh, this is something that needs to be known?
You know, it was such a pivotal point for me while in seminary, because there was sort of an emotional crisis absorbing these ideas, because I didn't know if I was being deceived. I didn't know if I was succumbing to false doctrine. I sort of felt like I was losing grip on my mental capacity to hold on to the truth. So it was sort of scary and frightening. And, cause I thought it was a new idea, a novel idea. Like these Lutherans are saying that God is using mere water tied to his word to actually regenerate, to save. These Lutherans are saying that Jesus is bodily present in bread and wine, in with and under to bring forgiveness, to apply immortality. It sounded like such a novel, new idea. But when one of my professors talked about the historicity of these ideas, that they're not new, that there's this through line extending all the way back from the New Testament forward, you know, 16 plus 100 years and counting of Christians who fought for these ideas and took time to think carefully, to articulate them, to preserve them in the midst of cultural pushback and conflict and theological heresy arising. And just, you know, that gripped me. And I said, man, Lord, I feel more confident trusting in something that feels weird, knowing that your Holy Spirit has taught the church these things longer than I've existed, longer than the people that I listen to, books that I read and podcasts that I listen to, longer than they've been alive. And, you know, people that didn't know each other continue to preserve these ideas all the way through the Lutheran Reformation. So that was helpful for me to hear that, to discover it on my own after hearing the professors say it. Then I can go back and read primary sources and say, yep, there it is. Yep. Ignatius said that. Yep. Clement said that. Yep. Polycarp said that. Here it is. And that was helpful for me to see it with my own too. And I said, I got to go with the loudest voice from church history that seems to echo the scriptures. And that really helped.
Great stuff. So I noticed that you now have Extranos Academy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, indeed. So Extranos Academy, it is a hub of all things confessionally Lutheran in terms of the arts and theological content. So there's a podcast titled Extranos Academy. And also there's music, which we're talking about now. My first conference will be held in 2024, you know, with a feature myself, other Lutheran pastors, for a time of, you know, lectures and Q&A sessions and, you know, just a powwow to talk through these things with people outside the Lutheran tradition. You know, curriculum and other efforts artistically to bring these ideas to bear. So I'm super excited about it. A lot of people are happy that it's here and excited to see how it develops. And I'm one of those people. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning that.
Now, how would our listeners go about finding that? Is that just YouTube or Google it, or where do they go?
Yes, on YouTube, it's Extranos Academy, just in the search box. But you can go to extranosacademy.com, and you'll see the merchandise there, the music there. You'll also see links to the podcast and things of that sort. So extranosacademy.com.
So what does the future then hold for Flame? I understand you've got a book coming out as well. What else is coming down the pipeline?
Yes, the book is, man, it's done. You can order it now on Amazon. So I'm very excited about that, because I wanted to take time to carefully talk about the story. A lot of people get the theology and the sort of deep thought in the music, but I want to give people just the human side of the journey and, you know, each step of the experience. And then also I'm walking through particular scriptures that Calvinists hold dear, like Romans 9. I'm walking through that particular passage and others to help people see better how the church has thought about things like election, predestination, and the sacraments. So the book is super important to me. I think it's a great effort. Shout out to Concordia Publishing House for linking up with me. And also there's an app that I developed with a friend of mine. His name is Lex Lutheran, and it's of the Book of Concord. So people that just want to have the Book of Concord on a smartphone or a device, you can search Evangelical Catholic in any app store and it'll pop up so you can get the Book of Concord readily at your disposal. So yeah, we got things like that coming. And ultimately, man, I want to see this develop into a learning institution where people can do internships and just come sit and soak. And, we can talk, we can read, we can podcast, we could talk about how to communicate, a Christian worldview through the arts. Cause I don't want everyone in per se take my approach. They don't have to be like a preachy didactic teacher as an artist, but I want them to think about the Christian worldview and be able to use it as you do art, as you do, all these expressions in the world, and how to include, the things that God values that are helpful for humanity. So I want to talk about those things as well.
Now, a couple other questions I have for you. I mean, Lutherans don't normally think about rap when they think about church music. You know, let's be honest. How have you been, how have you found the reception in the Lutheran church, with regard to what you're doing? Have you been welcomed? I hope you have been.
Yes, I've been greatly welcomed. It's been so much love, so much support. I remember Extra Notes came out. So many people reached out from the Lutheran space, different tiers. I mean, you know, denominations, if you will, or leanings within a Lutheran space. People have reached out, just very supportive. And, you know, even people that were sort of concerned, like, what is this thing? How do we understand it? How do we use it? I appreciated that because it let me know that people care and they want to sort of be watchmen, watch women, if you will, to protect this treasure that I believe the Lutheran tradition has preserved. So one of the main concerns I remember was people wanting to know, will there be an expectation to see rap music in the divine service? And so people had that question particularly. And my response to it was, I mean, I've seen efforts to include rap in some type of liturgy. I personally haven't seen it done well, especially if you don't understand the rap cadence. It can be a distraction, and it perhaps may not be the most beneficial thing in a corporate setting. But then some people have pushed back and said part of liturgy in a divine service is to collectively worship. So if you're rapping, you know, and people are in a room, they can at least appreciate what you're doing and worship God that it's being done as a tool to communicate his word. So I've heard people on both sides give healthy pushback. So I don't have a particular agenda to see it in divine service. But, you know, I think that's a fun conversation to have. But to answer your question, by and large, it's been nothing but great support. And I love that because hopefully it inspires more artists to be Lutheran out loud. And, so we can get this stuff to the Gen Zers and, what's the generation under them? I think they're calling it Generation Alpha. So we need that.
Great stuff. And I would encourage, you know, if we have pastors or Sunday school teachers listening, you know, introduce your classes, your students to the teaching that you are giving in rap. I mean, my confirmation class was pretty blown away. So well done. And it is a great way of aiding and assisting. What did you call it? Edutainment. And it's, the kids love it. So, you know, I've often said we need somebody to put here's your challenge. Put the small catechism to rap, because that's how I remembered the small catechism when I was growing up. I had to set it to music. I had to do the beat in my head. Otherwise, I'd never remember it. So, something like that is a thank you for putting that theology to some pretty wicked beats.
And thank you. And you know, I will be releasing a project on Luther's small catechism. So, look forward to that. So it's about 95% done. So we're finishing it up. And, so we'll be going public with the promo and all of that stuff. So that'll just be another tool in a tool belt in terms of thinking through. The small catechism.
Great stuff. Well, unfortunately, as time is ticking away, Could you perhaps speak to some of our listeners, if any of them are out there and they're really weighed down by the law and they're wondering, does God love me, or have I done enough to deserve God's love? Do you have any words of encouragement for them? Any hope for them?
Well, firstly, I my heart goes out to anyone that's in that sort of fog or that dark space. I've been there. I've been low, so low where it's just hard to find energy to get motivated to even get out the bed. So I can definitely sympathize with that. So if you're listening, I just want to encourage you to know that God loves you. He knows you. The Bible says he knows the number of strands of hair on your head. There's no mystery to your personhood. He knows your struggles, your weaknesses, your habits. He knows the complexity of your being. But yet the Bible says that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And on the cross, Jesus says, it is finished. So I want you to know that he loves you even as he sees you fully. And he proved and demonstrated that love on the cross for us. And now he communicates that through word and sacrament. So even in the midst of your fog, man, go to divine service, receive the gift of the Lord's Supper, and know and trust in his word, because he's for you and he's proven that. And from beginning, middle to end, he will preserve you. So trust in the Lord and be encouraged.
Flame, thank you very much for that. We pray God's richest blessings on all your projects that you're working on. And again, thank you for sharing the gospel and that encouragement with us, for helping us to look outside ourselves to the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord. God bless you, and thanks again for all your time and your great encouragement to us.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.